what?
One of our ducks died.
I just said a dead dog. How many do you guys have?
Now three.
Sorry.
Did you tell what happened to it?
No, I mean, Jenny suspects that eight went in this thing.
Where?
Because. It was just like, look.
Yeah.
It was fine before we left.
Maybe it was murder.
It didn't look murder. There's no blood. No prints. Yeah.
Then she'll pull all the other ducks together for questions.
Try. They were just too upset to talk.
No. They're so sick.
All right. This is probably it, right? Who?
Emma.
I just can't call in because she's on the road.
She's on the road or something. Alright. Anything else we need to talk about? Alright. So
when do you leave?
31st is my flight. So
next week.
Yeah, it's my last full week. I don't know what time 31st. All right, so a couple of things I listed up this weekend I was thinking about randomly. One thing is kind of analysis, more like with Clarier data that I can kick around to in addition to what you're working on. Have you got the Ghost Limb stuff pied out? Is it different?
Not pied out.
I'm sorry, bar, whatever.
No, but I've separated them all into Ghost Limb terms. It took forever.
Okay.
But I'm going to create graphs today. Okay.
So one other interesting thing I was thinking about is the relationship between methylation and sequence mutation. Mm-hmm. We've never really looked at that, and then, I don't know, I go back and forth. It's probably a coincidence of gene function, but it still would be interesting.
Like the SNPs per base pair. I mean, you did that.
Well, I did that before, but it was based on the MBD. I was just curious if we could, I mean, it's just something that's floating around in my head that we haven't really captured. If you've like bended into regions or something, I don't know even how you do it. It's something that we haven't really looked at. It's easy to do because we do have the RNA-seq data, and I could come up with SNPs, and then we could somehow do relationships. That's just something out there.
What about on like a per gene basis?
Yeah, I mean, that would be easy to do, but it did, yeah, that would be, it would be easier to do because you already have methylation per gene, you could do SNPs per gene, or SNPs per base pair per gene, yeah. That would work, but the whole idea is like, personally, I just think it's a happenstance and not causative. What do you think, Mac? Think I'm right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to tell when you have those differences in gene function, but it's
Is it related? Is it causative and stuff? But it came up because we're putting it in this new proposal. Anyway, it's minor, but I just thought I'd list it. The other thing that's minor that I thought would be neat to do just for fun is I don't even know how to do it, but if we could create like a phylogenetic tree of the organisms that we work with just for fun. Don't even know how to do that, but it'd almost be like you'd probably easily do it. You had like the same gene from all the organisms, but it might be a good project for like a undergrad or something like that. Just something to display, to visually see all the different species we work with.
For the website or?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, just for the sake of, I don't know why, what made me think about it. But could have been. And then the other thing, I should talk to Mac a little bit about, but this is just more things I'm just trying to keep floating and therefore I'm talking about them, is this idea to somehow come up with some picture that can show genome-wide methylation across tissues. So I don't know if you were at Carrie's talk.
No, I missed it.
So, if you look at any anybody who sequenced a genome, they have all the chromosomes and where the markers are. So that made me think about it. And so I've got a couple models of how to do it. None of them are great, but I think the thing I started playing with was taking the scaffolds that were very, very big. And then you could, it's crude, but then you could just take a snapshot of that scaffold on ITV viewer with the things, and you could put them on beside each other, like Yale sperm, and you'd have 50 of them, or whatever you have, or the 10 biggest. I mean, just that would be interesting for me to see them all on one screen, to look at across, what is it, a million base pairs, what's the methylation pattern, and how does it change across tissues? So that's kind of where I was. But I think that it'd be nice to have some kind of holistic kind of view of things. But if anybody comes across anything else or has an idea. Because the genome browser, we're kind of, you know, just one at a time.
That'd be cool to do in Cercos.
Yes, it would be very cool. I mean, this is also something we could give to Giles, too. I spent 3 days of my life that I'll never get back on Cercos. And I swear I would never touch it again.
I know, I did too. I spent like one full day.
Yeah. I mean, it looks so, I mean, Giles, that's something that, you know, if we decided worth the time, we get Giles to look at it. But even with Cercos, what do? You almost need to stack, just like concatenate all the scaffolds into a circle. Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess
how. And then you would stack them.
Yeah. But that's the other thing I was thinking about, Galaxy and doing the circle, but just doing a false genome, like just concatenating the big scaffolds like that. I don't know. This is more for things I thought were interesting. After Party, a lightweight transcriptome visualization and search tool. It might fit into this Oyster stuff, but it looked really cool. After Party.
Is it pretty?
I think it's pretty. So I think what eventually you have is some, I don't know, it looks quite clean. I think it's like a installer. It's one of those things where you can make everything accessible, maybe. Mm. It doesn't look, I mean, it looks pretty cool. It's like you could host all of the data sets and make them. And so it kind of fits in with that QDOT thing. You know, maybe like blasting annotation. This page, I mean, it's not really like a genome browser per se, but it's anyway, something I came across going through my bookmarks. It's much like a blast server, but I do kind of have jobs looking at a different lightweight kind of in-house blast server too. Okay. What else did I come across this weekend? Have y'all looked at this? I haven't looked at it much, but it might be something going forward with new projects, a way to, I think it's PCR based. I don't know if I posted it or not. Anyway, it's here. We can take a look at it, but it's amplicon sequencing, and that there might be a way to go forward with this type of approach in certain cases. Dual indexing, the library allows for simultaneous analysis of 96 samples. I don't know the details, but it's enough to start looking at something to think about.
Just looking at it, though, it's like the pyro sequencing.
Yeah.
I wonder how it's different from that.
Well, they use the MiSeq, so they're using, I don't know. But the fact that they're using MiSeq was cheap in and of itself.
Okay.
And it says cheap,
and it
says inexpensive. And the last thing is I finally did start working on this data management plan, what do you call it, data and resource sharing plan, and I posted it if you have any comments. So kind of just to specifically illustrate a policy, or specifically post a policy regarding, it's kind of leveraged from this person, where I saw it probably on Twitter about policies. So take a look at it. I put a link on in the lab agenda to see what you think. But basically, I've broken it up into data sharing on the notebooks, product, kind of what we strive to do in terms of product publications of, you know, where we publish them and supplemental information. It's just kind of almost like a best practices thing. If you have any ideas about that. All right, so that's all the little stuff. Any other little stuff? Other thing I was thinking too is, I think what I want to do is I want to start moving the field stuff into Claire's lab. Maybe Brent, you can decide where might be a good place that's appropriate, but just yeah. to, so we're not jumbled up in here.
Yeah.
Well, that was my other idea. I was thinking if we could, in terms of like getting new knee holes, if we move the qPCR machine over to that lab, because you don't want to put like bodies over there since all the reagents are over here. But it could be.
Oh yes, yeah.
There's a machine in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's bad for the optics.
Well, we can move it if we're very careful. Yeah, that's a good. I mean, that's a yeah. I mean, we and Sam were also talking about we can move. We don't use that incubator much anymore. I mean, technically, we don't use that shaking incubator much anymore. I mean, not to move it all to Claire's, but we can move some of that incubator stuff into those closets over there where our minus 80s are, and beside where Graham's.
There's tons of room in Claire's.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. We don't want to junk it up either. We want to have like some plan. Like I was thinking. You know, I've mentioned too, like all electronics on one side of the lab, and then field stuff on one lab, because you want to make it usable and not junky, but we want to utilize the space well. But you're right, the qPCR machine, that's an idea, because we're still kind of struggling for Jake to have space. You know, we've kind of got this without a leg room. So yeah.
Somebody tried to get Russ's microscope, by the way, when he set it off. Who's tried?
In your office.
Just over here. Just tomorrow. He's got a really nice scope.
Yeah.
So I was like, he's not quite ready, but.
Yeah. Well, he'll have to use it over there, right?
Yeah. He'll let me use it. Yeah. I was trying to get it. But now he doesn't.
See his
phone. He sounds fine, by the way. His response is just working from home a lot. Yeah, well, to me, it makes sense over there that like, that side with the sink would be a good side for field care because it's easy access, it's in and out.
Right when you walk in, or the one with the
right when you walk in.
That whole pathway, okay.
Yeah, and then the side against the windows
yeah.
where the hood is.
Yeah, more clean stuff.
The thermocyclers are over there. Like.
Yeah, so the obvious place for field stuff is the wall. The
I think so. There's a closet that you could hang waders in or whatever and put boots in, I think.
Okay.
It seems like it could.
There's
tons of space underneath that bench.
Okay. So, Mac, what are you up to this week?
I think I'm for real ready to get the manuscript revisions in today. I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Okay.
I might need to just borrow you for like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I think that seems legitimate. I mean, you looked at stuff yesterday too.
Excuse me?
You think that's fine to get it in today and you looked at stuff yesterday?
Yeah, you saw what I sent back, right?
And so then I guess I have to start working on the revisions for the other paper. Or wait a week on that, in which case I'd go back to my analysis of the microarray data.
So there you're just waiting on the, you've got data from downtown, you just don't have time to look at it, is that the deal?
Yeah, I looked at the whatever hypermethylated ones, but I haven't annotated the hypomethylated ones.
Yeah, for a little while there, you were looking at nanostring stuff.
Yes, and I have a summary written up of that. I think there's like one more In terms of, we actually did some reproducibility stuff, inter and intra-assay variability, just to get the numbers out there, but.
Okay.
I did the whole summary, and there doesn't seem to be a lot more excitement about the data.
Okay.
It is what it is.
So what happens to it now?
I don't know. I saw that one thing that you posted about it. I have a weird feeling we'd never get it through the Amstring legal department that they would be okay for it to get published, because it's not great data. But I think that's what we would have to do if we wanted to put it somewhere.
Written it up in a way, so that's kind of like, to me, that's probably, I haven't looked at the results, that's probably the extreme of where it would go.
Yeah.
And the minimum of where it might go, approval might be something just like fix share.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just the data files and a simple description and bam, bam, you're done, but it's out there. And it's, or, I mean, if you could get it all the way, I'll look at it and see what it is. I mean, that would be huge to get it in that other place. You don't have to really meet any thresholds, but it might be beyond. Or maybe I should look at a summary of what it is.
And then if that were the plan, even if it goes to Figshare, I think we would probably need to meet with them.
That's fine. But I'm just saying. Set up some kind of, you set up a proposal. Really, just do a quick proposal if this is what we would like to do, so we have something to talk about with them. But that's probably that always gets hit to the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, I feel better just having waded through it and kind of knowing basically where everything is. But do the microarray stuff first.
Okay. Yep. We'll probably need to jump on this other than the paper too quickly, because what we might want to do is get a professional picture made or pay somebody to do a graphic. If we do want to do that, we might do that.
Okay.
So let's talk about your paper that you're turning in before lunch today.
Yeah.
So what you got going on, Brent?
Gearing up for rock scallop stuff.
Yeah.
Just figuring out the.
So what's going
steps.
On with that? What are you doing?
Well, once they have rootstock, they're going to go to the tailor.
Yeah.
And we're going to. We can spawn them this time of year, which is kind of a question mark a little bit. But we'll see if we can spawn them. We're going to try and make triploids. So I got to design an experiment too. We have no idea what time. We know the timing and that, but we don't have any idea of dosage. So we're going to do a little experiment to do that. And then we may try and make tetraploids at the same time, because we'll be there with the same kind of goals.
You doing all that at Taylor?
Yeah. Originally planned for Manchester, but...
But it's not up yet.
Yeah. So it's a little dependent on when they get the broodstock in, but I want to be ready to go when they do.
Where do they get the broodstock in from?
They're going to dive and collect them. So, Joth and Molly are supposed to be on that.
Who dives?
Jump and Molly.
No way.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yeah. Are you a diver?
Yeah, but just open water.
You're not a research diver, uh-uh. Certified? Because you could help if you were.
Yeah. That'd be super fun.
I know.
You maybe could help out at that time.
But I don't dry suit diver.
You don't dry suit diver? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd want a dry suit. Pretty much. But yeah, they're, to get 30 or so in to start. And then I'm also back at that GUI Duck Report stuff for Washington Sea Grant, getting things finalized. I'm so not excited about it. But just making a few final tweaks this week. And then I think it's and I'm guessing we might need to go back out in early November.
Hopefully.
If we don't get too, because it's going to be foggy again tonight, I think.
I think so.
That's what the forecast is.
Yeah.
Which means we had a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's really going to clear. I mean, I don't expect any of the weather to be any different. I don't. Joth went out about, he called me about 9 o'clock. He went down and just kind of checked it out. And he said it was too scary to do that. So I don't, we probably won't make another call until tonight.
Yeah. Unless it comes up. But I figure, you know, if it's too nasty to boat, you can always traipse through the mud, you know, but.
Yeah.
That's not going to come in the middle of the night.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's up to Joth. I mean, it's obviously his boat, but I mean, to me, it's still easier in a boat than traipsing through the mud, because that's what I was thinking about, too. I mean, it's foggy, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's got to be a small boat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
It's just scary to be out on the water in the fog in the night. Done that with Joth once.
Yeah.
I never want to do that
scared.
Again.
What are you scared of, like whales or
this
something?
This is when GPS was
the wrong
bad.
Way.
Yeah, just you have no idea where you are. And, of course, I was prepared. I had a GPS unit.
Yeah.
And I'm there with two other people, Joth and Nate, I think. Yeah. And they were like, it's that way, land is that way. And I'm like, it's this way. And we had a big old argument out in the middle of the water in the fog about which way it was, and they did not trust the GPS.
Yeah.
It,
well, you just
like,
kind of let
just
a string
dismo.
Go. Just tie a string to the beach, and then when
yeah,
we go,
should totally do
that. And come back.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Needless to say, the GPS turned out to be
yeah,
right.
I don't know. I don't know how thick the fog was last night.
You'll hit land any direction, actually.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's an open
ocean. I mean, not wrong.
Well, Manchester's are probably pretty lit. Y'all are pretty lit up over there just all night, right? With safety lights and...
Yeah, I think it's pretty bright over there.
Pretty bright over there.
So I mean, we just see the light. Just
yeah, just
the
head
for
the light.
Just if you hear the... get out of the way.
Yeah, the fairy would probably be the... The scariest thing.
That happened to me too.
Yeah.
In Norway, I'm out in a little rowboat, no lights, no nothing.
Yeah.
Just rowing. And the fog just came in. I had no idea which way things were, and I heard that noise from the big ferry coming through. I'm like, holy shit, I'm gonna die. I just rowed as fast as I could in one direction. I figured I'd hit land sometime.
Alright. So what you up to, Doug?
Back to Manchester.
Yep. Everything's Everything's good over there?
Yeah, letting us back in. Saw Rick after he got back from Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was there last week. Yeah, I think I talked to him Friday.
So he thinks that I should not defend until January.
Okay.
He's going to be gone for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and December's hard.
Yeah.
So I talked to Sam Scherer.
Yes.
And so I guess I'll have to talk to you and we'll have to figure out how to work that out. But she said we can, I don't know, yeah. But that I guess that'll work in January. We just have to kind of change the way I am classified. If I'm not taking 10 credits, because I can take 2 credits in a quarter to defend, but then I lose RA status.
Yep.
So she said I could get hired as like a 51% appointment professional.
Yep.
And Walt said that's okay to use that money in that way. And I guess at 51% appointment you can still get benefits, but the benefit rate changes from 16 to 36 or something.
Is this here?
Here.
Yeah, it changes from about 16 to 30.
So the difference with the tuition and the benefit rate makes it all essentially the same.
Yeah. But you could just as easily stay as a student. You defend in January and keep your same status and not do any paperwork, right? It's the same amount of money for you.
Just, as long as you had 10 credits.
I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, but you could just, they just sign up for research credits anyways.
Right.
It's all
right.
Fake credits anyway. So.
Yeah.
Did she have an opinion on doing it? Was there a rationale for not just doing that?
I don't really.
Okay.
I don't really know.
Okay. All right. So yeah, maybe we'll talk. So that's definitely what you want to do. So we need to confirm with her.
Yeah, that's what Rick wants to do, and she said that that's a little better as far as advertising to the grad school. Do it in January instead of December, as far as getting that in.
What? You say the word advertise? You lost me.
She has to advertise the defense.
Okay.
For at least 2 weeks before the defense.
Okay.
For it to be considered legit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, so people know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the public, it's, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's just a paperwork thing, because you have to get things signed by everybody before so many weeks in.
And my thesis has to be you guys within before 4 weeks before I defend, which would put
put it two and a half weeks. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be final. That does not have to be final.
Well, I mean, there's no penalty if you don't. I mean, I've had people over there that y'all know, I've not gotten the thesis until after the defense.
Yeah.
All these rules are there to be broken.
Yeah.
That's my attitude.
But anyway. Yeah, but yeah, you definitely need to get it in beforehand.
Yeah.
Just so people, it's just common courtesy.
So, yeah, Rick thinks January is
okay.
More doable.
Okay.
And, I don't know. I guess we can talk.
Yeah.
We've got time later.
Yeah, let me talk to Sam, too, and see what she's, get her rationale for doing, for why.
Well, I think it was more of Rick's rationale that fuck them, we're not giving them 10 credits worth of tuition.
Well, I know, I agree.
He's like, that's bullshit. 2 credits is a ripoff. It should be 1.
Yeah.
And you should still be an RA. Screw this. What the hell is wrong with them? I've never seen this before.
Nice job.
See how much more compassionate I am? If it's cheaper, then that's fine. I think it's
essentially the same.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If it's a wash, then I don't want to fill out the paperwork.
Principal.
Yeah.
So, I think he said that pushing it off will give Walt more time to know what Noah's budget is.
Yeah.
And if Walt knows what Noah's budget is, and we do have XX males out there for spawning, then he can maybe convince Walt to give you more money to pay me more.
Okay.
Because then Noah can use me as their cryopreservation guy to cryopreserve and maintain all of that XX semen.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we'll plan. If there's no males,
then they don't have a rationale for paying me more.
Right. But if they have, what are they going to do?
They're going to try and convince Walt to pay me more and use me as their cryo guy. And then there's also the salmon people over there who are interested in the CASA, so maybe they would be willing to pitch in. And then there's all the monitoring that they want to put in, so they could probably get convinced that is a rationale. So I think, I don't know. But it all depends on if we have any money, which no one will know until it's too late. No.
Well, the other possible piece of the puzzle is working on shellfish. That's the new shellfish lab wants it up and running. We need cryopreservation for sure. I don't have my finger on the money, but Betsy does, and so I mean they might be able to kick in a little bit.
That'd be great. Anywhere we can find money to pay me, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, well,
I think because he's got money through.
Make a big difference to be able to do.
He's got money through August for me. And then I think that there's another Jazea grant for another 6 months after that, but it's all at RA funding status, so it's pretty minimal.
Yeah.
And Rick's like, I can't apply for any goddamn grants.
I don't know you do, Rick.
Results are okay, right?
Yeah, methods and results are good, I think.
Alright.
But yeah, I just continue working on that. I really want to finish it. You know, getting the figures for RNA-Seq, that's kind of my focus right now. And then class.
Yeah, it might could just end up being that one stag bar. I mean, that might be it, but it's worth exploring to see if there's a pattern in the function. Okay.
And then teaching an R class.
How's R going?
It's good. I wish it would focus more on like generating figures rather than manipulating data, which is kind of in the focus
so far.
But it's good. The homework that we have like weekly assignments and they're pretty intense. It takes a lot of time, but it's useful.
You will reuse what you've learning, you think?
I don't know how much I'll reuse like data manipulation because I do all that already in like SQL Share.
Okay.
But I'll use like we had a few lectures on generating graphs and stuff, which was helpful.
Alrighty. Teaches it.
Term branch.
Steve, you need help tonight?